live from Crazy Horse 3, it's time for Cofield and Company.
Warriors ball with 9.6 remaining.
An NBA championship on the line. Iguodala throws it to Green, who catches it. Back to Curry, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound Cousins, deflected. Picked up by Leonard. Ball still loose. They dive on it and try and call time. And a timeout call. Lowry has it. Throws it into Leonard. That's it. It's over. The Raptors win. Leonard makes it official. Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions. The Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
Here's Steve Cofield.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It feels good.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The evil empire, just scooping up and buying players, is now in trouble. No one wishes all these injuries on Golden State, but it's over. The run is over. Vegas books are saying it. We'll get to the odds that are out for the 2020 season. Adam Hill is here. It's Cofield. Chrissy is back in our Findlay Toyota studios. Chrissy, where'd you get the We Are the Champions? Was that Jurassic Park? Who was singing it?
Yes, that was the actual footage from right after. They all broke out in one of my all-time favorite songs.
Lovely. So. Lovely. My favorite rendition is actually from, should I mention it again? God, I love this movie. Come on.
Jurassic Park?
The end of Revenge of the Nerds?
Wow. You're so far before me. I've always lost on that.
I'll look it up.
Poindexter on the violin?
Speaking a foreign language.
All right.
Pencil neck geek?
Probably one of my five favorite moments of We Are the Champions.
Didn't William Hung sing it at some point?
He did. It wasn't great.
I thought that was your favorite.
You know what? That's a good point. We'll have to bring that back. We'll have to go into the archives. We'll have to bring that back next week with some more Raptor celebrating. All right, Big Five time.
Battle-Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
So I'm going to tell you, you know, I try to go full disclosure on the show. I got some trouble on the home front with the SO.
Okay.
We're really starting to bicker over burgers.
It's usually, I think, like 50% of marriages end in divorce. I think like 78% of that is burger.
It is hamburger related.
Yeah.
Listen, I got the grill. I like barbecuing. She doesn't like the, you know, the red meat burgers. So it's veggie burgers, but most times it's turkey burgers, all right? So they introduced this new thing, this plant-based Impossible Burger, right? And now, around North America, they're running out of the Impossible Burger. Have you heard this?
No.
They can't keep up with it.
I didn't know there was a shortage. I thought that was the beauty of it.
Have you tried them?
Yeah.
I actually think they're pretty good.
They're fine.
But the SO is like gaga over it, and I'm like, they're $3 a patty at the store! Come on! Now I don't yell like that. I just buy it and cook it. But, you know, I do have to grit my teeth a bit. I'm like, all right. Only the best for the SO.
How does it look cooking?
It doesn't really grill up like a burger. You can kind of, you sort of char the F out of it to get the burger effect, but it still doesn't really char up.
It's not as bad as when we once cooked up a McRib on the grill.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it like fell apart.
It doesn't fall apart. You got to be careful, though.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be careful. But it's the rage. I think I've had more of that meat at one of the taco joints. One of the national taco joints has it. But, man, it is the freaking rage. Apparently, there's a whole, like, opposite side to this Impossible Burger thing, aside from me, who doesn't want to pay for it, right? I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what this show is. But there was some guy going crazy the other day. I'm going to call this crazy. Like, I don't think he's got mental health issues. He starts ranting about the evils of the Impossible Burger.
Fast food restaurant, you're going to be eating a fake hamburger. You're going to go to, when you go to your favorite fast food restaurant, you're going to be eating a fake hamburger. You're going to go to the grocery store and buy a pound of fake hamburger or a fake steak, and you won't know that it was grown in some big corporation's laboratory.
Okay. Are you now getting scared?
Well, I mean, it's not really my thing anyway, but I'm not really that scared. It's some guy named Rick Wiles. I don't know what he does or who he is. Well,
apparently he's unearthed a plot, maybe bigger than the Weatherman plot we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
I kind of believe him.
You do believe him?
Yeah.
Really? He's making a lot of sense here. He sounds sane.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, keep going.
This is the nightmare world that they're taking us into. They're changing God's creation. Why? They want to change human DNA so that you can't be born again. That's where they're going with this. So it will be impossible for a human to be born again. They want to create a race of soulless creatures on this planet.
And what's the problem?
No, I 100% agree with them. And that's actually why I like the Impossible Burger.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's a benefit, not a scare tactic.
I am actually noticing that on the home front. The SO has become a lot more reckless and sort of soulless.
No longer human, soulless.
Just saying stuff. I'm like, wow, she never spoke like this before. She doesn't give a rat's ass about anyone anymore.
Yeah, I don't see it as a problem at all. I think this is actually a benefit. I don't know what this guy's getting all worked up about.
I think he's got problems.
I don't want to be born again.
Are there tens of thousands of people listening to this dude who are like, yes, evil plot,
oh,
Impossible Burger?
1,000,000%. Absolutely they are.
All right, time to move on from Burger Guy. Now we've got Plant Guy, number four.
Number four.
We love celebrations. We love watching Philadelphia try to tear down, light posts where they have to grease the light post. Didn't the Philly Eagle celebration include an awning collapsing? Because guys were like climbing up in an awning, a giant awning, and just freaking broke it.
Yeah, I mean, they did much better with the awning than the St. Louis people did with the arch, for sure.
St. Louis people trying to push the arch over. Not really possible. On the streets of Toronto last night, celebrating the Raptors' victory, you got little man on the street. I think he was little because the dude he was talking to was kind of big, but he was carrying around a plant, and they labeled him Plant Guy.
What's with the plant, man? Where'd you get that?
It's a housewarming gift for Kawhi.
Does he know this yet?
I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting. Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him yet. I think he's somewhere in Oakland right now celebrating his butt off.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
Tell him I love him. This guy is blasted. Just blasted.
You think? By the way, the other guy, the Rick Wiles guy, is clearly some sort of spiritual leader of some sort. I would never follow anything he says. This guy is my leader.
Plant
I will follow Plant Guy.
I love Kawhi.
This is a housewarming gift for Kawhi.
I'm just going to mark it down now. I want to call dibs on this. When a Vegas major league team wins a championship, I want to be guy in the truck, horn guy.
Just honking?
I don't know why. I love that part of the video, just the guy in the background with it. Dun, 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 dun.
If you were that guy, can I be Plant Guy?
You can be Plant Guy. You just have to find a plant. So
this is a housewarming gift for Riley Smith.
Describe the plant.
It's a giant plant. It's way too big to be carried. It's not like a small house plant.
It was a small tree.
It's like a tree.
Yeah, it was a small tree that he just ripped out of the ground. More Plant Guy.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man.
Coactus.
Coactus. I like to collect it. It's a Plant Guy says it's a coactus. I think Plant Guy, I think he's doing well.
It absolutely was not a cactus, but I do love the new name.
Coactus is awesome.
The coactus.
I think Kawhi might actually meet up with him and get the coactus and put it in his new home in L.A. Is that acceptable?
I hope he finds him. That would be a cool moment.
The coactus.
Didn't C.J. McCollum find some woman who was crapping all over him and have a meetup?
Jennifer?
Yeah, that's right. It was Jennifer. That's right. I forgot the name Jennifer.
But that
should be Kawhi with Plant Guy.
I just feel like in this case, I think that Kawhi probably, or the, not Kawhi, I think Plant Guy at some point in the celebration was so drunk, he probably just put the plant down, I would think. I think he forgot it somewhere on the streets of Toronto. I don't think he carried it around all night. He seemed like he was already at a point where he wasn't going to be able to do anything anymore.
Top three stories.
Number three.
First of all, coactus is number one. I don't know why it was number four.
Kawhi, MVP of the finals. Number two MVP of the season. Is it too much to say the GM, Masai Ujiri? Is that too much credit?
Well, I don't know if he's going to get any votes now, but... No, I think it's fair to say what he did was incredibly impactful and made a big difference in them making that decision. It's tough to give up, you know, a guy that has been a cornerstone of the franchise for somebody that's going to be there for 1 year and try to roll the dice like that.
These finals were so weird, right? Because you had these highs of the Raptors beating, you know, the team that no one, well, people thought they could beat them. But, you know, GSW, we've heard from so many people, like, they're going to win the title. What's the point of playing the NBA season? And then they're on this glorious trip to winning a title, and then you get a downer with Kevin Durant going down. Then last night you get a downer with Klay Thompson going down. And that, in a microcosm, happened to Masai Ujiri. I don't know if he was aware of all this going on, but before the end of the game, Woj on ESPN tweets something out, and he's like, you know what? The Wizards are planning to steal this guy. They're going to offer him $10 million a year. So you're like, oh, my God, what an unbelievable moment. This guy's going to be set for life. $10 million a year. Within 2 hours, there's a story that comes across. Somewhere in the midst of the postgame celebration, there's an allegation out there that Masai Ujiri got into it with a cop and may have hit him. Now, there are other details coming out, so I don't want to go crazy on the story before we know all the details, but what a weird evening for that guy. And by the way, I didn't even throw in, he just headed up, you know, an organization winning an NBA title.
Yeah, and if you watched the video that was out there, and I'm sure there's going to be more videos that come out at some point, but it seemed to pick up after whatever the alleged incident was. It appeared to be a case of Masai Ujiri was trying to get on the floor to celebrate with his team and didn't have any credentials or anything like that on, and the police officer didn't understand who he was or know who he was, and he stopped him and said, you can't go on the court. And Ujiri appeared to get agitated by that, as you can kind of imagine he would be, although it's probably better ways to handle it. And something happened between them. As you said, we don't really know, and details keep changing kind of by the hour in this case, but certainly at, you know, what should be your highest moment as a professional, you don't want to have to deal with what could be a very negative story, because, you know, the stories as of, you know, 2-3 hours ago was they were still looking to press charges and want to, you know, charge him with something here.
On the job, is there any way you would take the Wizards job?
No,
I wouldn't.
Although, I mean, it seems to be a no pressure job. Like, you're going to lose Kawhi most likely, and in Washington, whatever success you have is like, wow, what a job. And if you don't have success, well, they've never had success really in a long time.
Doesn't he deserve? I mean, if the offer is $10 million a year for a GM, whatever, president of basketball ops, doesn't he actually deserve like 15 or 20 for having to go there and clean up the John Wall contract? Which there's really not much you can do to clean it up. You just got to ride it out.
Sure. I mean, he deserves whatever. I mean, $10 million is a lot for a GM. He deserves whatever they're gonna give him. But he also will have his pick of where he wants to go. So.
Now, the obvious is, if the Wizards can make a pitch for one of the best, if not the best, front office guys in the league, why can't the Lakers? Genie, what are you doing?
Does their GM want him as his assistant GM?
Well, that's a good point. I guess the counter is, why even bother? Does anyone actually want to go and work in L.A. with Clutch, with Rich Paul, with LeBron?
Yeah, I mean,
as the GM, when you really don't have that much power.
You have to run all of your decisions by a player and his agent, basically, and Linda Rambis for some reason. Like, is that the job that you want? I don't want the wife of a former player deciding what I can and can't do, and I don't want to then have to have her also agree with LeBron and his agent on every decision I make. If I'm somebody that has that much ability and is that good as a front office guy, as Ujiri is, I would want somewhere where I actually have the authority.
Yeah, I think I'd wait, you know, as long as, and I don't think Toronto's going to do this, but Toronto comes back and they're like, all right, sorry, we got to pay you $150,000 a year. Like, I have $10 million on the table. Well, sorry, that's our budget.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's something stupid like that, I think he's going to stay. And then if he wants to leave down the road for big money, you pick a good spot. Not Washington, not the Knicks, not the Lakers.
Well, and you've also got Canadian tax issues to deal with, so.
Ooh. Actually, that's something to factor in. You're right. Yeah. Boy, taxes in Toronto suck. When we were talking about Tavares, it was Tavares, right? I think 37% might have been. It actually might have been upwards of like 45% was the top tax bracket. It was insane.
I think it's higher.
Top two stories.
Number two.
Adam's like 84%. I think it's 84%.
56.
Weird storylines from the finals. Did you see who actually got titles? And, you know, and our, the guys who were going to get rings down the road. When so many great players in NBA history have never won a title, great players playing now have never even sniffed a title. One, Linsanity. Jeremy Lin gets a ring.
As he should.
As he should.
Key contributor. I saw him over on the bench a lot, giving a lot of encouraging advice to his teammates. I think he was even in the game at some point.
And the best, of course, is the guy only wins rings. Patrick McCaw, former UNLV player, won his third freaking ring. That's incredible. He and LeBron James have the same amount of rings.
And have contributed the same amount to get those
exactly.
rings also.
I will always mention them in the same breath.
I think the biggest attribute that McCaw has is knowing when to get out. Like, he knew when to get off that sinking ship in Golden State and to go head north for greener pastures in Toronto. That was smart.
Well, remember, he had a stopover in Cleveland. I'm sure he looked around. He's like, I don't do this losing stuff.
Who's going to win? Toronto. Who can I help win a title? Where are my services going to be the most put to use to winning? And he contributed quite a bit.
Top story.
Number one.
Well, we're here. And I don't mean Crazy Horse 3 with open bar, because that's pretty cool. And I don't mean here with $75 Visa gift cards we're giving out or $5 food. We are at Adam Hill's favorite part of the NBA season. The end of it and the beginning of the offseason.
The only part of the season I pay attention to.
And you never expected to have to deal with this. What happened the last week has thrown this whole thing into a crazy whirlwind. Kevin Durant, in all likelihood, is going to miss all of next year, right? Unless he wants to come back and, you know, be dragging his leg around. What the hell is he going to do? And, in a way, I actually felt worse for Klay Thompson than I did for Kevin Durant. I know they're both bad injuries, but my God, the guy was having a great game. I like Klay Thompson. Like, I don't like the Warriors. Klay Thompson's one of the guys I like. You know, if I had a favorite team, I guess it would be sort of the Lakers. But I've wanted Klay Thompson to go to the Lakers, you know, go back to the area he mostly grew up in, at least played prep, right? God, that sucked last night. Hearing after the game that he tore his ACL because of all the guys, well, Draymond's been a guy's sacrifice as well, but I think Klay Thompson's a better player. You've had other guys make massive money. This is now the chance for Klay Thompson to make his big money, either be the number two on the Warriors again or go somewhere and be a great two somewhere else or have his own team. And now what the hell happens? Now what's going to happen? What are the Warriors going to do with him? What will the rest of the league do with him? Will they still offer him a Supermax deal, you'd assume, with advances? You know, if he wants to push it, ACL, you could probably be back next April, maybe earliest March, 9-10 months. But how's the league going to look at him?
I think it's fascinating. First of all, I don't know if you saw the story that he was in the MRI machine when the game ended. And then he came out and he was like, did we win? Poor guy. Just brutal. Just a tough way to end the season, certainly. But I think it becomes very fast. First of all, Kevin Durant is the first domino to fall. We know that because he has to decide if he opts into his deal a day before free agency starts. I don't think he will, because I think the max deals will be there. In fact, we heard today that the Warriors plan on offering max deals to both Thompson and Durant, which would be insane, but also very cool. Like, hey, you guys have been here. We're rewarding you, giving you both max deals. Next year might be a struggle, but then 2 years from now, bring the band back together and try to pursue titles again, which would be crazy.
Let's build on that. Let's build on that. That would be amazing, because I figure with these injuries that the opposite would happen. And like I said the other day, you know, if you want to run an organization, one of the guys to look at is Bill Belichick. You know, what would Bill Belichick do? My guess is that he would say, well, them's are the breaks. Sorry, ruptured Achilles, torn ACL, you're gone, we're moving on. And not only are we moving on, this is kind of anti-Belichick, the moving on part is Belichick, but now we're going to get replacements for you who basically are as good as you. Sorry, you're on the scrap heap. You know, Golden State, let's make a run at Kawhi Leonard.
The Big 5 at 5 is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call them today for a free consultation at 702-570-9000. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Enter a world where miniature golf is extreme. Played in the largest, most dangerous course ever devised. And victory is everything.
You gotta be better than that.
Oh, the humanity of this.
Joe Tessitore and Rob Riggle host.
It's the greatest show on earth. We're gonna crush in the ratings.
Holy moly. Put up or shut up. Starting June 20th on ABC.
Yeah. That is what the Warriors are left to work on.
Holy moly.
Yeah, of course, rehabbing all these horrific injuries because Klay Thompson down with an ACL and the Achilles for Kevin Durant. Steph Curry, who cannot make a shot in the playoffs inside of 20 seconds when it really counts. He's now, what, 0-for-8 on go-ahead shots in the playoffs.
He's approaching Kobe level.
Terrible!
No. Yes.
Choker! Steph Curry now gets to work on his show. He's actually the executive producer of that doozy. Holy moly!
You know what? I'm in.
Boy, it looks wild, doesn't it?
I'm in.
Well, you love miniature golf.
I do. I'm in.
The smooth jazz stylings of Joe Tessitore, as he told, I forget who did a feature on him last year, before Monday Night Football, which came off as just
awful.
Really silly. And he's now dueling with Rob Riggle on the announce team. And I love that Kawhi's in there just laughing. Enjoy your miniature enjoy your miniature golf, Steph.
I think it's going to be a good show. I'm in.
No, it's not.
I think it might.
Well, you're very amped up for this whole game show thing. Because did you text me last night? You're like, this show's on now, too. Look at all these game shows.
It's because we had the conversation. I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air the other day.
It was on the air.
We were having the conversation with when John was in about the resurgence of the game show. That Pressure Luck is back. Card Sharks is back in prime time. Like, all these shows have been on Game Show Network, but they're bringing these shows back in prime time now. I was watching another one. I'm just like, what is going on here? They just keep bringing them back. Holy Moly is a whole new one, but I like the resurgence of the old ones. It was a Match Game was on. Like, what is this? They're just bringing back everything. I'm enjoying it, but... Match Game was Alec Baldwin, and it's just, first of all, there's no actual celebrities on there. Like, three of them, I didn't even know who they were. But then they're being so obvious. Like, they're ruining the game shows just like they ruined Family Feud. Because I talk about it all the time, I love Family Feud, but Steve Harvey, his version of it, like, every question is designed to get a shocking answer, and then every reaction, like, whoa, whoa! Like, that's what you were looking for! You set up the question to get that answer. Why are you surprised that they're giving it? And now, Match Game, like, the glory of Match Game was that every once in a while you'd have this over-the-top, bizarre, like, crazy answer, and then it would be like, whoa, that's crazy. Now they're, like, they're setting it up. It's just total. Hey, give this answer. You're like, no.
There's no nuance anymore. We have to cater to the stupid.
Yep.
Frankly, it's aside from you, what person over 85 IQ is going to be watching game shows at night?
I don't even know how long I'm going to stay with it. But I've been home a couple of nights this week, and I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of into this.
I mean, you like Joel McHale, so, and I always like Card Sharks.
It's a good show.
I love game shows, but if they're going to bastardize them,
yeah.
I think I'm out.
Yeah,
This miniature golf. I love miniature golf, but I don't know if I can get down with Joe Tessitore screaming as they kind of mix miniature golf with what is it? Mount
Wipeout,
Mount Fujiyama. What's what's the show?
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, American Ninja Warrior. Whatever it's called.
I think it's more Wipeout.
Okay.
I think they're like knocking you down, like hitting you, like making you fall off of things if you miss the shot.
I think it would be fun to play. I don't know if it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like, watching you get blasted on the windmill hole and knocked into some water would be hilarious.
You know what I hate more than the windmill hole is every once in a while you'll be at, like, a really old miniature golf course that just has the mountain hole.
Yep.
Where, like, the hole is on top of a mountain. It's just impossible to get in.
What are we doing here?
And if you – because everybody cheats on it. Like, you see everybody kind of use the club and, like, push it up the mountain and put it in. You're like, no, that's not how it's done. You have to put it in. And I will sit – I will take 35 strokes. Now, you mark a 6 because that's the max you're allowed to mark. But I'll wait till I get it in.
And believe me, Adam takes it seriously because we had our old guy at triathlon about 6 years ago, and we had mini golf, and things crumbled at the end.
Ugh.
Because the more it was your team, right? The morons of your team couldn't nail the final hole. All they had to do is just, you know, there was a hole in the middle. It's a ramp. It was like Kiss mini golf, right? There's a hole in the middle. Wasn't the easiest putt to make. You could make it, but there are receptacles on each side. You don't make it. I think the receptacles are like a three. You make it, it's a one.
Yeah.
And, like, one of your teammates, like, it's just like up the ramp down, up the ramp down, up the ramp. Like, just put it on the side.
Right.
Get it over with.
You're trying so hard to get the one. All we need is to get it in the thing. You'll go anywhere in there, and you're getting us three, and we're winning. But, no, you're going to try to be the hero and try to go for a one and take, like, a seven and make us lose.
6 years later, still steaming about it.
Oh, I was furious.
Idiots.
Don't have to be a hero here, fellas.
Odds are out for the 2020 NBA championship. The Lakers are plus 450. The Bucks
not anymore.
Bucks are 6-1. Did it go down more?
It did. When they took a bet, and I think we'll talk about it, but they took a big bet on another team, and that moved the Lakers up to 5-1 from 4.5-1.
Milwaukee, Clippers 6-1. H-Town, the Rockets, 8-1. Toronto, 10-1. Boston, Philly, 12. Golden State. And I tracked this last night because I think both the Westgate and I saw offshore numbers. Offshore, Golden State, last night before Klay Thompson announced, before they announced Klay Thompson ACL, I saw it offshore, Warriors plus 190. And I think, what did I see with the Westgate? Plus 350. Klay Thompson, ACL. 14-1 now.
Yeah. What a surprise. They're a middle-of-the-road team without those guys. Yeah, that's what we've been saying for a couple weeks.
I actually reached out to Jeff Sherman today at the Westgate, and I was like, hey, after free agency and the draft, when do you guys put out the yes-no playoffs for the Warriors? Because that is going to be freaking massive. That you have to post that.
Yeah.
Dan Wetzel wrote a story for Yahoo Sports talking about it. And, I mean, when you think about it, if they don't have Durant and Thompson, whether they're there or not, they're not playing. What is this team going to look like next year? Like, is it reasonable to think a Steph Curry-led, maybe with Draymond Green around, Warriors team could go from 57 wins to, like, 45? Well, guess what? You're not in the playoffs in the West. The 7-8 seed last year won 48 games. If the Lakers come up from 37, this is their only saving grace, is that all the teams that didn't get near 48 wins, I'll stink again.
Yeah.
But if anyone rises up from the 30s, Warriors are screwed. Unless they win 47, 48, 49, 50 games. They could no Durant, no Thompson. They could easily slip 10 games in the standings.
Yeah, and I was talking to Jeff today, bothering him on his last day of vacation, whatnot.
No, he was on vacation?
Yeah.
Ah, damn it.
So I think what he was saying is he was arguing that the Warriors' price should be higher. That you should be, you know, 25, 30-1, even in that range. But the problem is what they could do is just say, we're not signing either of those guys. We've got max spots open. We'll go bring in some other superstars to pair with Steph Curry.
You got to be careful. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, could the Warriors make a nice pitch to Kawhi Leonard? Hey, Kawhi, we're clearing the decks. It's going to be your team and Steph's team. KD has decided to go elsewhere. Klay always wanted to go to L.A., and he's got the injury. So it's your team.
Yeah.
With Steph.
Yeah. And that was actually one specific guy he mentioned. Like, who knows what happens there? So yeah, you got to be a little bit conservative with the Warriors. But, like I said, the reports are out there this morning that they will, in fact, offer both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant max deals. It would bring their payroll with tax to $350 million, which in their new stadium or their new arena, no problem.
Okay, so one, from a basketball standpoint, I think it's stupid. From a... hey, the owner or the owners are awesome, except for the guy who's hitting people, grabbing people. The owners doing this, I mean, very benevolent. This is, I'm not going to say 100%, like, this is what we wish all owners would do. But I do like the feel of it, right? I like the feel of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully they both come back 100%. Hopefully Kevin Durant isn't dragging his leg for 2 years.
Yeah.
I guess if I wanted to go the ruthless route, I would just say, hey, they did what they did. Someone else is going to pay them. You've got room. You've got money. Go and get a better team because we want to win now. That means this year.
Yep.
We're not waiting a year for them to rehab.
Well, and they have the issue of, as I said, they've got the new arena, which I think some people are going to want to just go just for that. But we know their fans. What happens if they're not good next year?
Oh, I think they'll be fine next year. But you're right, I think year two. That, you know what, that said, I don't want to speak on this without knowing season ticket packages. They may be doing something creative where they're locking people into like 3 and 5 year plans.
I'm sure they are.
And in that area, on that side of the bay, they'll get the money.
Yeah. That's, I mean, and it's not going to be the same fans necessarily, but.
So you're the owner of the Golden State Warriors. Do you do this? Do you sign both to max deals?
I don't think I would. But you also have to look at what you can get. I mean, you don't have that luxury at the time. So you have to make a determination of what you're going to be able to land. Like, yeah, if you told me, hey, let them both go and Kawhi will sign here long term, sure. But if you let them both go, you really don't have many assets in terms of draft capital. You don't really have young players necessarily that are like clamoring to get on the court and are going to be productive. You've got a long way to go to try to build the roster back to being, you know, an elite level. Even though you have Steph Curry, it's going to be an uphill battle. So who can you get? Who's going to sign there? Who's going to want to be a part of? Who's going to want to be a part of essentially rebuilding? I mean, Draymond's only signed for one more year. So, I mean, is he there long term? It's a really tough call.
Let's close out with, I'll tell you what I would do. It's not exactly what Adam is suggesting. And we also have to get back to a little bit of UNLV basketball news. Big day of commits. And also, this guy was gone, but he officially has chosen, one of the transfers in the portal has officially chosen a new location.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
It smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Crazy Horse 3 on this Friday, our Happy Hour Friday. Open bar for a few more minutes. Happy Hour until 8 o'clock. We do it every Friday. Crazy Horse is the spot to watch the fights. There is a fight this weekend. Tyson Fury is an entertaining guy. He's in line for some mega fights. He's still unbeaten. He's a quirky guy at like 6'8", 6'9", 263 pounds. This fight, though, I feel like there's going to be more damage done to boxing because of the Andy Ruiz fight, where we're now justifying 30-1, 50-1 fights. And they're like, anything can happen.
No, it legitimately happened yesterday.
It's boxing. No, you got to come out and watch.
Yeah, it legitimately happened yesterday. I was talking to some people about this fight, and they were like, oh, the Fury fight this weekend is going to be great. And I was like, no, it's not. It's a squash match. It doesn't matter. They're like, what about Ruiz? I'm like, all right. Yep. It was one time.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it for every one of these fights. So if you remember, right after Ruiz pulls off the upset of Joshua, you know, at one point Joshua was like minus 3,300. Was it the next week? Golovkin goes in there as like the same size favorite and just freaking destroys a dude.
Yeah.
And Tyson Fury is a bigger favorite than both of those guys in this fight. So here's the positive. I like to see Vegas do well. I want to see venues filled. I would hope that we'd get, you know, better main events. The get-in price is, I just saw like $104. It's probably going to be lower than that. Boxing is cool to see in terms of atmosphere. If you've never been to a championship fight before, or, you know, this level fight, that would be the positive. You can actually get in and see what it's like, but I don't see Tyson Fury losing this fight.
No.
There's a lot on the line, though, for him. So
oh, yeah.
He has tens of millions of dollars on the line here. I hope he's focused. And actually, for him, it was probably a positive to see Anthony Joshua knocked out, because that'll shake some sense into you, like, because this guy turns into a fat slob in between fights. He got over 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's never going to be an Adonis. He's always kind of flabby, but I'm sure he's focused for the fight.
Pressure is solely on one guy. So, I mean, that's the positive, I guess. That one guy has pressure, the other guy doesn't. Maybe it loses him up a little bit, but no, it's a blowout.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
By the way, the food here, tremendous. People keep coming out and be like, wow, food really is good. You were right. Yeah, it's great. But I just saw something. I was like, I have to bring this up for Steve. Would you do this? You're a soft pretzel guy. Fruity pebble crusted soft pretzel available at the Marlins game. Now, I know you weren't allowed to eat cereal growing up, but now you're allowed to. You're an adult. Would you have a fruity pebble crusted soft pretzel?
Nah.
Why?
One, the pretzel doesn't need the help, and it's the sweet and the pretzel taste together is a little bit weird, and I absolutely, like, of all the cereals that Mom banned from Crazy Hyper Cornholio Cofield, Fruity Pebbles were at the top of the list.
I love Fruity Pebbles.
Fruit Loops and Fruity Pebbles, there's no way I was allowed to eat those. I would have run through, like, at full speed as like a 3 or 5 year old, I would have run through a freaking plate glass window.
I love Fruity Pebbles. I enjoy a soft pretzel. I don't know if I would do it either, though.
Back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
One last thought, and we'll have a lot more with free agency starting up and the whole offseason with the NBA. I would, if I were the Warriors, I would not sign Kevin Durant. And in fact, and they're talking about signing him, rumors out there, they're going to try to sign Klay and Kevin Durant to max deals. I certainly would offer the first max deal to Klay Thompson. I don't use the word oh, and I like the Belichickian style, like, hey, tough luck, buddy. You know, tore your ACL. We can find someone better. They better offer Klay Thompson first. They do owe him to a certain extent because he's taken less money. He took a lesser role. He went back out there and shot free throws on a torn ACL. He is one of the Splash Brothers. He deserves it more than KD does.
I think so. I think that's fair. And certainly put it all on the line just like KD did in the end. But, yeah, I think they should do him first.
One last time in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Announced today, Trey Woodbury. Local Clark High School kid, UNLV Rebel for a year, going to be going to Utah Valley.
Fits well, though.
Okay.
Shooter.
They had some of the best shooters in the country
sure.
a year ago. Crazy Horse 3 is the spot. We're giving out this last $75 Visa gift card. Open bar lasts a few more minutes if you miss this week. Next week, 3 to 6, open bar. Enjoy the weekend. Start it off here. Happy hour goes until 8 at Crazy Horse 3 on Russell across from Raider Stadium.